Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Good morning.
I've been excited about this day all week to come and see your faces, be around the saints of God.
Amen.
It's an encouragement to come in the house of God and be with His people. We'll be going over question 5 again today, part 4 of question 5. This has been a long one. I'll restate the question and the answer. How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? The answer, the Bible evidences itself to be God's Word by the heavenliness of its doctrine, the unity of its parts, its power to convert sinners, and to edify saints. But the Spirit of God only, bearing witness by and with the Scriptures in our hearts, is able to fully persuade us that the Bible is the Word of God. We're going to be going through the 9th and 10th proof text this morning, and we're going to be dealing with false doctrine and how the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth and how that the Scriptures warn us against what is false. Let's pray first. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day. Lord, above all things, we want to magnify Christ this morning. We want to magnify His Word. We pray that You would be in our midst this morning, that You would come forth and that You would speak and that You would teach us this morning, Lord, that You would gird us up in the truth, that we would be able to stand in this wicked and perverse generation, dear Lord, that we would walk in the righteousness of Christ and not of our own. Lord, we pray for Your grace this morning. We pray that You would open our ears and our hearts, that You'd open the book again to us, as You've been so gracious to do. In Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. Alright, let's start this morning in the book of 1 John chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 20, and we're going to see how the Holy Spirit, by the Scriptures, which are the truth, protects us from false doctrine. 20, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Let's look at a cross reference in John chapter 14. John 14. Where we just read here, we've seen a reference to an unction that we have in us by the Spirit that leads us to truth. Jesus, speaking in John 14, speaks of the same thing here. Look at verse 16. And he said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Turn also to John 16, page over. Look at verse 13. Jesus speaking again, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. God's Spirit dwells within us, leading us to the truth of Scripture. Let's look also at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Looking at the Spirit's work of revealing the truth to us through the Scripture. Chapter 11, let's look at verses 3 and 4. Paul speaking here, he says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him." Look also at verse 13 through 15 in the same chapter here. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." The Scripture warns us of false doctrine. Brother Jimmy was talking about earlier, there's a new sect of Christianity today that wants to take away the wrath of God. There's also, I encountered a man this week that he was talking about the same very exact thing, that the God of the Old Testament is different from the God of the New Testament. This new God has come, and he has appeased the angry God of the Old Testament. What the man was preaching to me was known as Gnosticism. That was condemned by the Scriptures. Things are being taught over and over again. There's nothing new under the sun. It's what we have here in the book of Ecclesiastes. I've encountered so much false doctrine in my life. Give some examples. We went through 1 Corinthians 14 last week. Speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is basically in the realm of oneness theology or modalism. It was a second century heresy that denied the Trinity. It believed that God acted in three different modes. He'd either act as the Father, as the Son, or as the Spirit, but not all three in one. Look at 1 John chapter 2. Let's go back there. 22-24. "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which we have heard from the beginning also remain in you, ye shall also continue in the Son and in the Father." Let's turn to our last proof text in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll look at this part, how the Spirit protects us from this false doctrine. His beloved, the truth is in Christ. His Word, revealed to us by His Spirit, is the only thing that guards us from such heresy. If you account when Jesus came out of His baptism and He was led into the wilderness by the Spirit, the Scripture says, how did Satan combat Him in the wilderness? By false doctrine. He quoted the Scripture incorrectly to Him. But Christ combated him with, "It is also written." That's how we overcome. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm sorry, I just read that. No, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 12 through 17. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which puts a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when they shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. The chains are removed from the captive when we look into the Lord and not into our own understanding. That's the gospel of the false doctrine, that man could attain something that he cannot. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 7. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Christ is to be exalted and not man. And every false doctrine and every false religion, works and gifts are elevated, bringing attention to man and not to God. The religion of Satan, the gospel of Satan, desiring the worship for himself and not unto God. And you'll notice in every other sect of Christianity, it is a gospel of me. Look what I have accomplished. Look how much I have read. Look how many times I have prayed. I, there's no glory given unto God. I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 14. We're going to look where this all started, where the gospel of Satan began. Isaiah 14, starting in verse 9. Isaiah prophesying here, he said, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones and all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp, or arrogance, is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee, and the worm covereth thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weakenest the nations? In verse 13 right here, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. The gospel of Satan is the gospel of I. I want the attention. I want the notoriety. I want the blessing. I've been in all these religions, brother, and I can tell you this. I deserve hell. Yeah. Only by His grace did He save my wretched soul. All glory goes to Him. Amen. This morning in 1 John chapter 4. Verses 4 through 10. And this is the blessing that we have knowing Christ our Lord. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I've tried so hard since I was a child to merit God's favor by keeping His law. I cannot do it. It's impossible. But praise be unto His glorious name that He revealed Himself to me. And He is the propitiation for my sin. Let's close. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day, Lord. I thank You for Your grace. I thank You, dear Lord, that You would call wretched sinners out of darkness into Your marvelous light, Lord. May all glory, may all honor, and may all praise be unto You. Lord, we welcome Your presence this morning. Lord, we ask for Your hand to be upon the Sunday school with the children, Lord. Oh God, we pray for You to be in the next service, Lord, that You would come forth and preach with power. I've been so excited for 1 Corinthians 15 to come up, Lord, that, Lord, speak to us. Your sheep are hungry, Lord. Give us Your word. In Christ's name we pray and ask these things. Amen.